Beginning in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is the Rain Report for December 28th, 2006. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ. In honor of the late Alan Call, W6RCL, we present this encore presentation of Newsline's Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF's interview with Alan, conducted in March 2005, following Alan's being announced as the 2005 Radio Amateur of the Year by the Dayton Hamvention. Here is part one of that interview.
This week, the Rain Spotlight falls on Alan Call, W6RCL of Los Angeles, California. I'm Rick Johnson, KA9VZD. If you have ever watched the Today Show or NBC Nightly News, then you have seen some of Alan's handiwork. Call is a West Coast producer for both of these shows, and his job has taken him around the world. And over the years, Alan has used his skill as a television producer to tell the story of ham radio. For this reason, and numerous others, the Dayton Amateur Radio Association named Alan Call, W6RCL, as its 2005 Radio Amateur of the Year. Alan, congratulations. That's quite an honor.
Well, I'm not only flattered, but surprised. It seems to me there are so many more people that are more deserving. My contribution to amateur radio hardly affects the masses, but I feel deeply honored at being awarded the title Amateur Radio Operator of the Year.
Just who is Alan Call, W6RCL?
Oh, Alan Call. He's an older guy, part of the generation of radio amateurs with white hair that got their licenses in the late 50s. I started out as KN7 Echo Hotel Whiskey back in 1958. My first transmitter was a QRP rig, a single 6V6 oscillator on 80 meters. I probably worked half a dozen people at most with that radio, but it was a real interesting start in ham radio for me. The receiver was an S38. I enjoyed those early days of radio. There was a lot of camaraderie, a lot of fun, and it was really the internet of its time. You met people, you went places, you went to club meetings, and you did things together, and it was truly an enjoyable time to learn and grow. The interesting thing about radio in my career is that while I'm peripherally connected to the broadcast business through my ham radio link, I'm on the less technical track. I work in the news business, and it's been a real exciting time for me as well. I've been able to go a lot of places and take my radio with me. For a while, I was the bureau chief for NBC News in the Middle East, and so based in Amman, Jordan, I was able to get the call letters Japan Yankee 9 Romeo Lima literally on the first day I was in the country, and had 10 or 12,000 QSOs from there. Probably should have had more, but on the other hand, if you went back and looked at my travel logs, you'd discover that I was out of the country about two-thirds of the time I was based there. So I got to go to a lot of places. The frustration was I didn't get to work amateur radio in all the places I was, mostly because of rather narrow-focused local governments.
From what you say, news is a big part of your life. Tell us how you got started and where your career has taken you.
I got into the news business at age 20. I was going to college in Spokane, Washington, a small school, Whitworth College. My high school journalism teacher called me to ask if I was interested in becoming a record librarian at the local radio station that needed someone. And I said, sure. And this was in the summer following my junior year. I took the job as the radio librarian, and one of the duties was to prepare a rip-and-read newscast for a disc jockey, and also to tape record the Paul Harvey incoming news report off the ABC radio line in the morning for replay at noon on our station. One weekend, while doing these kinds of things, preparing rip-and-read newscasts for disc jockeys, etc., the disc jockey on duty said, you know, I'm not going to do this. I want you to read the newscast. And that was my start at age 20 in Spokane, Washington on KREM, FM, AM, and TV. I was taught by my fellow workers how to use a 16-millimeter film camera, and I became a videographer or a photographer or a cameraman, and I also sort of learned by doing how to edit video, edit pictures, make them fit with the sound. I wrote the scripts and stuff. I was majoring in liberal arts in college, but I took some journalism courses, and I just sort of learned the business by doing. I stayed in Spokane, became an anchorman, the sports reporter. You do a little bit of everything when you work in the small markets. After 3 or 4 years, I was transferred to the station that my company owned in Seattle, KING-TV, where in 1968, at a time when newscasts were routinely 30 minutes, my company had decided to be one of the first in the country to put a one-hour newscast on the air, and they tapped me to be the first producer of that first one-hour newscast. The bug really bit. I've really enjoyed news. I've really enjoyed spending a lifetime covering history sort of on the installment plan. It's been marked by a number of big occasions for me. I was at the Seattle-Tacoma International Airport the night a guy named D.B. Cooper hijacked a Northwest Airlines 727, covered that story from there, took part in the search, etc. Covered a lot of the veterans returning from Vietnam when that was winding down. In the 70s, I came to California to work at KNBC in Los Angeles, produced the weekend news and the 11 o'clock news there for a while. And in 1978, I joined NBC Network News, based out of the Burbank Bureau. I was Dr. Art Uhlin's first producer for the Today Show. He was the Today Show family doctor. Started covering politics and world stories. I was with the American hostages in Iran, not exactly with them, but outside the walls of the embassy compound when they were being held hostage inside in 1979. Who would have thought that a kid from Spokane, Washington would get to fly on Air Force Two with the Vice President of the United States?
We will have more with Alan Call, W6RCL, in a minute after you identify your station. From Chicago, this is the Rain Report.
You're listening to RainReport.com, the only authorized internet source for Rain audio.
Al, I guess there are not very many of us who could even dream of being in the same room as the Vice President, let alone share a plane ride with him. Has ham radio played a part in your career as a journalist?
The career in news sort of dovetails with amateur radio in that a lot of what we do is cover government operations. I've been a keen observer of the Federal Communications Commission since my early days in broadcasting because the FCC literally held the power of life and death over the licensing of all stations, especially the commercial ones that I worked for, which were responsible for my livelihood. So I've always had a keen interest in how the FCC worked. Tried to figure out, I guess, some meaning to how they make decisions, etc. The interest in the FCC prompted me on a couple of occasions to write proposals for rulemaking. I had one back in the 1970s when I first got interested in QRP low power radio that urged the FCC to create a 5-watt power maximum on 10 meters in the area, I think, from 28.3 to 28.5. Of course, that went nowhere. But the experience of writing a proposal, submitting it, trying to talk it up at radio club meetings, et cetera, was a pretty good one for me. The broadcast news business then has taken me to many venues where I could enjoy my amateur radio hobby. At the site of the Exxon Valdez grounding in Alaska in 1989, for example, I took a QRP radio and strung a wire dipole in the trees outside the motel room and was able to work the WPX-CW contest from there and didn't do real well with 5 watts from Alaska with the northern lights and propagation problems, but I think I worked 30 or 40 contacts as far away as South America and Japan and had a really fun time. I took ham radio with me to the Middle East when I was assigned to Jordan as the bureau chief in the Middle East for NBC News. Got my license, got on the air, and spent a lot of time on the radio, although the best time on the radio for me would have been contesting time, and every time there was a big contest, I seemed to get sent to some other place that didn't allow ham radio. I did buy on behalf of the company a ham rig and took it to Beirut back in 1985. Ironically, we had to refer to it as the Bacon just because we didn't want anyone to get an idea of what it really was. It was a transmitter that I kept attempting to get licensed for the operation of through the Lebanese telecom and never was able to do so, but I had always wanted to be on the air from the office. I spent hours and hours and hours a day and night in the office just sort of standing guard during the hostage crises. There were several kidnappings, as you might recall, and I had to literally be on watch waiting to see if there was a break. And I thought it'd be fun to be on the radio. Of course, I planned to operate only CW because I didn't want anyone to hear my call letters on the radio and recognize the voice of another American and then figure out where he might be. Ham radio has been very, very good to me. I've really enjoyed it and had a wonderful time around the world trying to practice that, shall we call it, an art.
Wow. You've been a lot of places and witnessed a lot of history being made. And I understand from our producer, Hap Holly, that you have used your talents as a news producer to report the news of ham radio as well. In fact, that's one of the reasons that you were named Radio Amateur of the Year. Tell our listeners a little more about that.
I was fortunate enough in the early days of amateur radio news reporting to link up with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, and Bill Ornstein, KH6IAF, who were actively involved in producing a newscast for amateur radio. We used the studio facilities at NBC News in Burbank to record some of the times, and frequently when nobody else was available to do the recording job, the nod went to me. So having spent years and years and years in broadcasting behind the microphone, I really enjoyed doing the Westlink Amateur Radio News. I enjoyed being the voice of that program for a number of years until my job took me elsewhere and my time became one where I could best contribute to Westlink Amateur Radio News by fielding reports from various places. For example, during the hostage crisis with the American diplomats kidnapped in Tehran, I had a report or two on the radio about driving through the city and not seeing any ham radio antennas, and knowing that here was a country that was really involved in a number of years of repression, first during the Shah's regime and then during the revolution and the regime of the Ayatollahs. The free speech kind of movement that prospered with ham radio didn't exist there. In the late 70s, the World Administrative Radio Conference gave amateur radio some new frequencies, and there was a lot of information available in some of the venues that I went to around the world that just didn't show up in newspapers in the United States. And so I felt pretty fortunate in being able to report information about what was going on at work through the amateur radio Newslink reports that otherwise nobody would have known. And in fact, there were bits and pieces that, when pieced together, were pretty interesting. Anyway, from there, on various assignments in various parts of the world, I was often asked to contribute information about what I saw, what I heard, always eager to comply. After I returned from overseas duties and was back in Los Angeles, Westlink Amateur Radio News, or Amateur Radio Newsline, sponsored a lot of on-air forums, which we did from Bill Pasternak's house, and had a call-in show. Went an hour, it went on current event topics, something that we continued sponsoring at Dayton, and broadcast a nationwide program designed for repeater users that would literally bring everyone up to date on the latest in FCC regulations or the latest that the ARRL had in mind, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So those sorts of public affairs programs were the kinds of things that we did to advance the frontier of reporting on amateur radio. Now with the Internet, there's a number of news services, and amateur radio Newsline is still there, and it's still in the forefront of all this reporting. I'm proud to have been associated with that for the last 25 years or so.
You have been listening to an interview with Alan Call, W6RCL, newsman, television producer, and 2005 Dayton Hamvention Radio Amateur of the Year. Next week in Part 2, Alan explores the world of documenting the story of ham radio and how the media has become an almost indispensable tool to ensure the future of our hobby. I'm Rick Johnson, KA9VZD.
This has been an encore presentation of a RAIN report from March 2005, conducted with the late Alan Call, W6RCL, who became a silent key earlier this month. We'll conclude our interview with Alan next week. The RAIN report is copyright 1990 through 2006 RAIN, all rights reserved. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ, and we'll see you next year.